You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favourite shows from. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke, Jonathan Breyer, and Gary Riley.
Hello everyone and welcome to Series 5, Episode 16 of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. As Joey in Doe would say, welcome to heaven. And look, we weren't here last week, but there's so many great League of Ireland podcasts out there at the minute to choose from. I'm sure you found someone to fill the void. And we're celebrating our fellow League of Ireland podcasters tonight. This is a bit of a League of Ireland podcast special. We're going to be having fellow podcasters from across the league popping in throughout the course of the evening to have a chat with us. So you'll hear those interviews airing throughout tonight's show. Unfortunately, no John Breyer because he's running up and down the streets along for Bollock Naked, shouting it's coming home and singing Vindaloo. So it's just myself and Gary tonight. Gary, how's life?
Oh, not too bad now. Hope John is getting on well. I'm sure he's not too cold. It's nice bit of weather down the long for these days. So hope he's enjoying himself. But it won't last too long. Surely someone will do us all a favour.
Oh, please God. Look, we've got a lot to get through as ever. We'll start with the Premier Division results from the weekend. And we've referenced them already. Our good friend Joey Ndoh. We'll have to get him on at some stage. Sligo 4, Bowes 0. This was an absolute hammer. And what a performance from Sligo at the Showgrounds.
Yeah, but Bowes were they probably weren't out of the game that much. You know, they did create some chances, but Johnny Kenny really stepped forward and got his hat trick. One of the youngest hat tricks I think in league history. I think, would that be right? Does that sound right? I think it was.
I haven't done that much research this week.
No, I haven't gone through my copybook that deeply either. But more learned people put that on online, I think. But look, some great goals, and not even exceptional goals from Johnny Kenny, although I think the last one of his was brilliant. But just really clever positioning and play and understanding
he's a fox in the box, isn't he? He's, for such a young man, he's already got that poacher kind of about him.
He does, yeah. And if he keeps going the way he's going, he'll have a huge career either in the league or possibly further afield. But like that, it's just so clever, like, you know, Talbot spilled it for the first one, and he was on hand to drive it home, and you know, it was also like made sure of it as well. So he did, you know, got himself off to a great start. But really, really all over the place for Bowes, isn't it? Like, they're having such an up and down season. Like, you know,
What happened to Bowes? What went wrong for Bowes here in this one?
Well, I suppose you don't even have to look into this one alone. You could look at them across the season because it's the same type of complaints that they're having. At the back, they're just toothless. You know, one of the most awful ones was against Pats when Cornwall kind of just stood in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
and was ran past, and that put their nail in the coffin because they went 2-0 down at that point. So that's the type of thing that's been going on all season. I think Feely was very poor in the Sligo game. I've mentioned him a couple of times. I don't see how he's getting ahead of Andy Lyons in that team at all. But I think just at the back, it's kind of sixes and sevens at every opportunity they get to defend. So something needs to be resolved there because they're not woeful going forward. I know I've been critical of Georgie Kelly a late. Two, how he's the top scorer in the league says, as I said before, says more about the league than Georgie Kelly. But I think it's just a bit mix and gather him for Bowes, and it's a kind of a disappointment from the highs of last season. And you know, of course, they still have to Europe to look forward to. They have a lot of creases to iron out with them.
Yeah, like looking at Bowes, they haven't got the worst draw in the world in Europe, but my God, they're going to have to tighten up at the back if they're going to progress. But just a quick word on Sligo, fantastic result for them, a real sign of their ambition this season. We've got a three-way tie now at the top of the table. How deep do you see this title race going? All three teams that are in it at the moment, who do you still fancy Shamrock Rovers? And as I said, do you see this going to the wire?
Really, really hard to know, isn't it? Like, we're looking at, you know, the start of the season, and you know, particularly in the first round of games, we were looking at, certainly myself anyway, was looking at Shamrock Rovers going, well, it's theirs to lose at the minute, even though it was early on. I thought they were the best ball playing team in the league, and you know we're grinding out results, but you know their play has been quite conservative. It'd look, you know, they're not really putting any teams to the sword. They only scored a penalty at the weekend there against Drogheda. Sligo Rovers seem to be motoring along nicely, and if Johnny Kinney can chip in addition to Figueroa and Gibson, and then De Vries there as well, like they can start really battering in goals, even though the goal differences are all the same, and out of the three, Sligo have scored the fewer, not only by a goal, but if Kenny, Gibson and Figueroa start singing together, they'll be unstoppable. So early on in the season, as I said, Rovers were my team to win it out. But Sligo Rovers seem to be coming in strong, and
I suppose it's
an interesting race.
I suppose the worry you have with the other two, Sligo and St. Pat's, is their overall squad mightn't just be as strong when you go down into the core of it as Rovers. They've got so many options there off the bench,
yep,
and players that maybe don't even make the bench at times. So a couple of injuries, a couple of suspensions, things could swing very quickly. But the July window now with Pats and Sligo going so well is a great chance for them to strengthen. But look, we'll chat Shamrock Rovers and the game against Drogheda. Richie Towell is going to have to hit the ground running for Shamrock Rovers, isn't he? Because that's the area where they're struggling. They're struggling to break down teams that are sitting in front of them with 10 behind the ball.
Yeah, that's really it. And like we saw there before the break, they couldn't break down Longford Town until the last kick of the game. They couldn't really break down Drogheda United the other at the weekend. They're just not, you know, you expect far more goals from them than they're scoring. I know saying that, they're still up there, and I think they're second or third in the scoring charts. But that isn't really a fair reflection on what's going on and what they're really achieving on the field. They can't break down teams, especially teams that are sitting in, which unfortunately is most teams, particularly as further down the table you go. But something needs to happen, and maybe Richie Towell will be some form of catalyst in midfield that can open up the fences a bit quicker and a bit more livelier than what they're doing. But just on, and you mentioned the transfer window for Sligo Rovers and Pats, they can't be complacent now. They have to strengthen, because Shamrock Rovers will, and they need to keep pace with them.
And of course, reports suggesting Rovers are looking for another striker in, which you would probably say they need. Anthony Stokes on trial. That would be controversial given the reports coming out about his kind of personal situation at the moment. And even aside from that, I mean, he hasn't kind of had a good string of performances for a while now. You know, he barely kicked the ball for Livingston. I know the Astro pitch there played a part, but I mean, he's a player that's on the decline. He's not the sort of player like a Jack Byrne that's going to come back and rejuvenate himself in this league. He's very much on the way out. So I'm not sure that's the sign for them either. I mean, Gaffney's come back and he's done okay, but he hasn't exactly kicked on either. So I don't think Stokes is the answer for Shamrock Rovers. But just on the game against Drogheda, a great result for Drogheda here. Maybe they could have even gone on to win it, but Rovers did hit the woodwork late on in this one as well, but a couple of penalties both ends of the pitch and two really sloppy ones, but from both teams to be disappointed with the penalties they gave away.
Yeah, there were, weren't they? There were, like, was it Markey that was tripped for Drogheda? I can't remember. Apologies, Kieran. But yeah, just like, it was both very soft, like both lazy.
Just left
out.
The leg dangling. Yeah.
And no need for it at all. Particularly with, you know, Shamrock Rovers going ahead, to be so careless at the back, you know, really undoes them. And because they're not breaking down teams the way that you might expect them to, stuff like that is really, really costly for them. And Andrada got back on level terms and held out for the draw.
Chrissy Lyons scoring the goal from the spot for Drogheda Burke for Rovers. But Lyons was excellent again in his overall play aside from the goal.
Yeah, like, he's really kicked on from being in the first division for the last 2 years. He's kind of grown, and you know, I think he's eight goals this season so far. So you know, he's really done well, and he's really settled down into life in the Premier Division. But he's really pushed on as well. He's, you know, probably been a bit more clinical as well, which is far tougher in the Premier. Like, a lot of people don't probably realise the jump in class between first and Premier Division. So the opportunities that you do get, you're not going to get as the next one that handily again. So you kind of have to make hay when you can, and Chris Lyons is doing it. You have to really hand it to him coming up from the first division.
And again, Tim Clancy and his management team there, we're not giving them enough credit, because they've bounced back from that absolute hammering they took against Bowes, a defeat in the Louth derby against Dundalk, and then they go and put a performance like this in Tala. So credit to them. Let's move on and talk about the game me and you were at. Hearts 1, Longford 1. The opening goal, Gary. So controversial. Look, we laugh about it now because it was a decision for once that went Longford's way. But if that was the other side of the coin, me and you would have been absolutely furious.
We would have been furious, but we... You know, I've seen it from another angle since, and it's not as like.
Stop! It's a woeful decision. It's absolutely terrible.
It's not. No, it is.
It is. Conversation ends there. Terrible decision.
No, it doesn't. It's ass. If you look at it from where we were standing, you can see where the ref made that decision. I know some people were taking screenshots and stills and all sorts of stuff from the opposite side of the watch LOI camera, or LOI TV camera, whatever. Like the ball, I think it's Boyle and Robinson that go in for that header. And there's an argument to be made. I'm not making the argument, but you can see why people would be saying that it came off Boyle's head just as much as it came off Robinson's head. To me, it came off Robinson's head. But like I'd actually have a bit of sympathy for the referee to see how he made that decision, because it's not as clear cut as people were letting on.
He has to be certain, though. Do you think he could have been certain? I don't see how he could have been.
Whether he has to be certain or not, sure, that's only for him to decide. Like in his head, he's certain. He was certain enough to overrule the linesman. Would have been the far easier decision to rule out that goal. Dobbs was probably 4 yards beyond the last man in front of the keeper. The linesman put up the flag. He could have just played on. He didn't need to make that decision and listen to all that grief. Yeah. But he did, because he seemed to have been sure. I don't agree with the decision, but I can see how he made it from different angles and different video that I've seen since.
Yeah,
I can see how he made that decision. I don't think it was the right one. But look,
fair enough. I know the officials are mic'd up these days, but I was surprised that the ref didn't go over to the linesman to consult. Now, they very well could have consulted, as I said, through their technology, but usually when you see a situation like that, the ref will just go over to the linesman, have a bit of a conversation to make sure there's no misunderstanding. It seemed to be a very rushed decision, which surprised me.
It did, but I suppose saying that too, if you have... If the referee goes, he made that decision because he thought the player was offside. Well, he wasn't offside, because I've made the decision here. What's there to talk about? Do you know what I mean? It's a kind of a binary decision here. So I wouldn't be that, that hard on the ref in that, because clearly he clearly thought that it wasn't Robinson, but Boyle that headed that ball onto Dobbs' chest. So. I don't buy this anti Harps muck that does be going on because of it. Longford Town have been on the bad end of a lot of decisions as well this season, so they don't have the monopoly on that.
And look, from a Longford point of view, it's disappointing that they didn't capitalise more on it, because Longford only stayed in the lead for a few minutes, and it's a fantastic finish from Owen Abbey, who again looked very threatening. He's very, very pacey. Aside from that, he drops into pockets really well and links up well with the wide players, and then tries to get on the end of crosses and stuff like that. So he looks a good player, I have to say. But Longford have a couple of opportunities to clear the ball. I think it's Aidan Irvine that tries to take it down on the edge of the area. It runs away from him, and then Owen Abbey absolutely smashes it into the top corner. It's a brilliant finish, but from a Longford point of view, it's a goal they shouldn't have conceded.
No, certainly not. And Ola, I think the ball, when it pops to him, he has great presence of mind to take a touch and make some space for himself and then blast it in. But it's disappointing from obviously from my perspective and yours and Longford Town in general. So many ill decisions around the box have caused Longford goals this season and dropped points because of it. surely, you know, is there a case of go, if you get the ball within 20 yards of the goal, blast it up the pitch, blast it out for a throw. Like, surely we have to reset. I know that's rubbish football. It's not great, but Longford are in a battle for their lives here, and something has to give. But I just want to highlight a couple of players that Lee Stacey had a humongous game on Saturday. Saved the penalty from McNamee as well.
Second away game on the spin. Now he saved the spot kick.
Yeah, that, absolutely. He got that one in Oriel Parks as well. So, but fair play to him. Stood up well. There was a couple of one-on-one chances that he stopped as well. So, brilliant game from Lee, and hopefully he can maybe shut out Sligo Rovers at the weekend.
And who else did you? There was another player.
Aaron O'Driscoll again. We've mentioned
we're both in the same fan club here.
Yeah, we're blue in the. Well, we're not probably not blue in the face as we should be mentioning this fella. I know he's at the back of a defence that's under pressure, but my God, Aaron O'Driscoll is having a huge season. Born with a cigar in his mouth, that fella has is having a fantastic games, and really, it's unfortunate for watching him because he's putting in such great performances, but the results aren't reflecting that. So. Yeah. Difficult for him, but on his own personal performance, he's having a huge season. So fair play to him on that.
Yeah, look, I tweeted it the other night that I don't like to put pressure on young players and hype them up, but this guy is absolutely top class. If you haven't had a chance to go out and see him yet, Longford fans, make sure you do. I think 500 fans can go this weekend, so apply for your tickets. Oh, is that all?
Yeah. Next time out, I think 500. Draw it at home.
Fair enough. Well, look, when the 500 are allowed in, apply for those tickets. Go out and watch this young fella. If you've got any kids out there that are starting out their football career as a centre-half, go and watch this chap. He's a special talent. He's not going to be at Longford for too long, unfortunately. And he probably won't be in this league for too long, I don't think. He looks a really special talent. But look, final word on this, Gary. Finn Harps, deserved point for them. They'll probably be frustrated. Mm. They were on the front foot more in the second half, but didn't really capitalise enough on that.
No, they didn't, and you know they still give up a couple of chances. Now they recovered well in a couple of cases, but you know they were still Longford still created something, even though Finn Harps were much more on top than Longford in the second half. So they'd be disappointed. They kind of let 2 points drop there, considering the chances that they created after they got their equaliser. But as I said, Lee Stacey stood up really well, and the tan postman kept them out as he tweeted there during the weekend.
Yeah, Harps has just lost a little bit of form, haven't they? But look, tell us, you had the soup for the first time. You said you would a few weeks ago on the show. How did you rate it?
Yeah, it was good. It was good soup. I had two goes of it. I gave it a fair whack before the first half, and I had one at halftime as well. And yeah, it was nice soup, yeah, and great.
Lovely stuff. I think you've won a few points back with the Harps fans there. And I have to say as well, credit to Harps. The pitch there is hugely improved as well. Usually down the years when Longford have gone up there, it's been like playing in a bog at times, but really good firm surface the other day. Ball played very well on it. So credit to everyone involved that's brought it up to scratch. Let's move on to the next one. Waterford 1, Pats 1. The red card was a big turning point in this one, wasn't it, Gary? Because Pats were well on top until the sending off of Alfie Lewis.
Yeah, it was kind of just continuing on from a Longford conversation. We were hoping Pats could do us a favour and draw one back. But yeah, for a red card so early on, it kind of unseated Pats. You know, I know they were one up, but you know, for what, 70 minutes of the game that they'd be on with 10 men, they did well to probably hold on for the draw, because Waterford would have smelled blood. But look, yeah, red card changed the game and let Waterford come into it, and it was probably an even enough game in the second half.
Yeah, look, Waterford kept pushing. They could have won it themselves maybe in the end. Mark Bertram's done a good job early on, hasn't he?
He has, yeah. Now, if he stops doing that, that'd be great, of course. But no, he really has. He's kind of
He's put an organisation on them, hasn't he?
He has.
There was a little bit of madness around the Sheedy era there, but they look a kind of well-organised side. And Prince, again, I've highlighted him a few times. He's only scored one goal this season, but it could be one of their most important goals when we tally things up at the end of the year. It was the winner against Longford down in the RC, but he puts on a brilliant assist for the equaliser. He was threatening all night. And yeah, as I said, well-organised. And then you've got kind of flair players like Prince there to pick off opposition when there are gaps to be poked at.
Yeah, no, definitely. There's no doubt about it. But not only has he brought some organisation, I think he's brought a bit of belief into them as well.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like from a pure mental perspective.
He's got that personality about him. We kind of mentioned that before, that he's a bit of a character, but he's obviously brought his own personality into that dressing room.
Yeah, definitely. A bit of swagger or something like that. I'm not really sure what to call it, but he certainly brought something in and kind of brought them a bit more together. They seem to be more of a team now rather than a team that's staring down the barrel of solid relegation. He seemed to turn that around, and fair play to him on that, because they really needed something to happen. And hopefully, you know, from a neutral perspective, that they can continue and push on and, you know, turn this relegation fight into more of a fight.
We'll move on. Dundalk 2, Derry 1. The final game of Chris Shields here at Dundalk. He got a fantastic send-off on his way out of the stadium the night. Great scenes there. Pity, though, he didn't decide to do that a few weeks ago, Gary, before he scored against Longford. He's actually scored twice against Longford this season. So he reserved that until his exit from Oriel Park. But a good win here for Dundalk. Derry maybe count themselves slightly unlucky they didn't leave with something.
Yeah, I suppose that they got one back. What was it, around the 60th minute? So they had the opportunity maybe to push on, but like probably Dundalk had too much in the tank. And just want to highlight, you'll have to remind me of the Derry City keeper's name,
Nathan Gartside.
Yeah, a bit of a howler again here.
Yeah, poor stuff.
Yeah, you know,
he has a habit of this, doesn't he? Pushing it right out into the path of an oncoming striker.
Exactly. It's nearly like he's planning to do it because, you know, he made a decent save. That was a decent shot, decent save, and nearly stunned it into the defender's path. I don't think the ball was even moving when the Nog player came onto it. So, you know, like, disappointing for Mahigan's perspective, because, you know, he saw what Longford were able to do, you know, a couple of weeks beforehand, nullify Dundalk's attack and still create some of their own, but then, you know, conceding the penalty and Hoban slotting it away kind of really put them on the back foot. And, you know, they came back well and they came back soon after that penalty, but just couldn't get across the line. And I suppose fair enough send off for Chris Shields after his, you know, years of service to Dundalk and the league as a whole.
Yeah, I suppose just give us a few words on Shields.
Yeah, well, look, he's probably what, you know, coming into the league, you know, years ago, wouldn't have been, you know, the most amazing player. Actually, I remember a League of Ireland player telling me how much he used to love playing against him because he was so stiff. he just looked forward to playing against him every year. But I think when he came into Dundalk then, you know, as particular, look, we have to talk about Stephen Kenny and the change he made, and, you know, the impact he had on loads of players across the league.
I suppose training with certain players as well. I mean, he kind of had to bide his time for the first couple of years at Dundalk. He came in 2012 there. Obviously, that was a really difficult season for them. He struggled. He probably wondered where his future lied there. And then, obviously, as you mentioned, Stephen Kenny comes in, and in comes Stephen O'Donnell as well. And I suppose he had to bide his time behind O'Donnell for a long time. And then O'Donnell started to pick up injuries and the like. And she was getting little tasters then. And he was growing all the time. And eventually he came in and he replaced O'Donnell. And as you said, he just grew so much as a player. There's no doubt about over the last number of years, he has been the best midfielder in the league. And I know Rovers fans will say, oh, Jack Byrne. Yeah, in an attacking sense, Byrne is obviously a much more technically gifted player than Chris Shields. But I mean, what Shields brought to that Dundalk midfield, he's going to be a very, very difficult player to replace if they can replace him at all.
Yeah, that's a good point. Is he irreplaceable? I don't think anyone's irreplaceable, but what he did, you know, if you look at Chris Shields, or if you were with him, you know, for a long part of his career, or you're watching him over a long period during his career with Dundalk, you could have seen where he took his time, grew into the position. He took the opportunities when they came. As he said, he had to have a lot of patience, but took his opportunity, made the position his own, and then brought that Dundalk team on even further. So you really have to hand it to him. He's a huge servant.
A great story. I'm sure you've probably heard it before, but Chris Shields is after the Batay game, when they qualified for the Europa League the first time, Martin O'Neill came into the dressing room after and he congratulated the Dundalk players. But he kind of singled out Shields for his poor passing in the game. And Shields kind of took that upon himself then, that was an area of his game that he really wanted to improve, to kind of show people that he could be a good ball player as well as, you know, this rough and tumble midfielder. And that's certainly something over the last number of years that has improved. We've seen them great switch passes he displays, and then passes on the half volley. It's something he added to his game. So, as you said, he's a player that came in, wasn't great maybe initially when he came into the league, but he identified areas of his game he wanted to improve, and he did it. It shows young players, if you work hard enough, the rewards can be earned.
The rewards can be earned, and they can be absolutely massive. Like, you have to, you know, and even that's a good story that you mentioned. A player playing with Dundalk can't really have ropey passing the way that you're describing there. But he still took it on, reflected, and then changed what he was doing, and probably training, on his personal training that he was doing as well, and you can see the results that have come in. But yeah, look, as you said, you know, what a player, what a servant to the league. I'd still rate him far higher for what he brought to Dundalk versus, say, what Jack Byrne brought to.
Yeah, well, Shamrock, I suppose it's over a longer period of time.
It is, but, you know, even there's certain seasons there, you know, but go back a couple of years, you know, dragging Dundalk into results and up the table. Brilliant player, brilliant servant, and he'll be missed.
And it's mad to think Dundalk are only 3 points off fourth now. What does that say about the league? Or are we reading too much into it? Is it just that they've picked up form, or what way should we be looking at that?
It's kind of hard to know, isn't it? Because, like, you look across, you know, they're in sixth place now, a couple of points behind Drogheda, a couple of points, 3 points behind Bowes. You know, even if you look at how are Bowes there, really, you know what I mean? It seems like the top three are the top three, and then everyone else is just rooting around waiting for the end of the season. I don't see how, you know, we talk about how ropey Bowes have been across the season, winning and losing week in, week out. No real consistency, but then Dundalk have had such a poor start to the season. It shows how quickly stuff can be rectified. John Martin, I know, obviously talking about Longford, but I'm always looking at them. John Martin made a very good point. You know, Longford are in the position that they are in, but three or four, I know it's not an easy thing to do, but three or four regular, you know, a couple of draws, a couple of wins for Longford, that's a completely different table for them. So very easily, you know, Dundalk win another game and Bowes lose at the weekend, they're joined fourth. Then they're only looking up.
Do you see Dundalk getting into Europe this year?
I don't know either.
I still think there's too much going on there in the background, isn't there?
There's too much going on. Chris Shields has just left. I know there's talk about Patrick Hooban leaving as well. Probably not having the best season of his career either. Could be tired of the whole thing, and Vinny's back now, and I should have got rid of him, or, you know, you don't know what's going on. Do you know what I mean? And next thing you know, you're looking at it like, oh Jesus, you know, and, you know, there's talk of Linfield going on, and Chris Shields just gone there. Seems like a nice opportunity for him to go and Giuseppe, find a few goals in somewhere else.
Giuseppe Rossi gone today as well, so more changes in the background there. So still a lot going on. Derry, as we said, be disappointed to have lost a bit of momentum here, but I've said it a good few times now, haven't I? This July window will be very big for Derry. Of course, Will Patching couldn't play in this game, and he's gone back to Dundalk now, so they need to replace him as well. So,
they got a chap in today on a 3.5-year deal.
Yeah, from Crusaders. I was asking one of the boys in work actually that follows the Northern League quite closely. So good player, but he wasn't exactly, you know, waxy lyrical about him either. So we'll wait and see.
James McGonagall, I think.
We'll wait and see. We won't judge him yet because we don't know a huge amount about him. But I see a record fee was paid from when he moved from one club to another in the NIFL. So he's obviously highly thought of by plenty of people. So. I think that's a sign of intent from Derry that this is going to be a big July window for them. Now, I am delighted to have Chris Clark from the Town End podcast joining us on tonight's show. The Town End podcast, they go live on Facebook after every Dundalk FC game, and they thrash things out. And I've really enjoyed their content so far this year. Chris, a bit of a crazy year for you.
Yeah. What a year to start doing a podcast, Kieran. Thanks for bringing us on. Yeah, look, I suppose the podcast itself came about just a number of us supporters, and we were like, you know, during the whole pandemic, the one thing we've missed is going into the Lily White and trash out what we all thought of the game. And I was like, well, how do we do that in the current environment? So we just found a way that we could make this work, that we would not only have our own opinions, but a way to bring in fans' opinions as well and create dialogue that way. So that's really where we started. And now it's, you know, we regularly have former players on and everything now. So it's grown a lot more legs than we thought would have originally.
I've really enjoyed some of the, I suppose, what you describe as legends interviews, because they're players that would be well before my time at Dundalk. And it's been great to hear their stories and their views on the current thing. I suppose the big question going forward, how do you plan to adapt the podcast? Because obviously the plan at the moment, or how you have operated so far, is you go live, everyone's at home. But now, yeah, Thankfully, people can start going back to matches. So how are you going to work around that?
Well, looking at the way the current restrictions are, we might not be able to stay indoors for a pint straight after a Kieran, so we still might be in luck here. No, well, we still think there's an element for the podcast. We'll probably just move the time back later, allow people time to get home or stay in Oriel or whatever for a pint, and then get home after it. Do you know what's a really good thing? And the amount of people have said to me, mostly journalists, friends of mine at the moment, they've mentioned that while they're traveling home from a venue, it's great to be able to put our podcast on and we can hear a debate going there and then.
Yeah, certainly something I've done, I've had to say, on the long journeys home or from Dundalk down to Longford. So very, very useful.
And I think like if you're ever in the UK at a football match, if you ever get on public transport or a taxi or anything, the taxi tends to have like talk sport on something, and it's all about a debate going on about different views and different perspectives people had on the game. And I just thought, wow, there's something we're badly missing in Ireland at the moment, is that kind of interaction after full time. So look, we still think that we still have a home post-pandemic with the fans. So yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely agree what you said there. Really, really good stuff. And as we said, look, you've had a lot to talk about this year. Vinnie Perth back in recent weeks. The results have picked up slightly. Maybe performance is not overly convincing, but given how Dundalk started the season, I think fans will just be delighted to see Vinnie back at the helm and picking up a few wins. And only 3 points outside the top four all of a sudden. Just an absolutely mental season, isn't it?
Yeah, it's mental. It's mental. I mean, I had just written off. I was like, you know what? If we can just stay clear of relegation, I'm happy with this season. And like I say, you put a couple of results together and it can really transform your season very quickly, or at least give you the optimism that your season can transform, maybe, is one way to look. Look, I think this week is probably, Kieran, one of the first weeks that we just haven't had a sensational story coming out of Oriel. I, for one, am glad for it. I think maybe with the whole thing with the fans, with Chris Shields after Friday's game, I think you can just see maybe there's a little bit of a united front at the club all of a sudden. I think we badly needed Vinny. We badly needed just somebody to come in and say, I am now your manager. You know, the blame falls with me.
It needed a leader, didn't it?
Yeah, well, like, you know, from many of the legends that we've had on the podcast over the past few weeks, Martin Lawler, Alan O'Neill, the one thing they've all said is the players need to be held accountable by somebody. So if we had Jim Magilton like we had for a short term, and Filippo before that, and nothing really happens with them, and they're not definitely the manager in charge, the players use that as a scapegoat and say, well, look, you're technically not my manager. So now Vinny's there, and I think you're starting to see that all of a sudden players are like, well, actually, I need to buck up here, because this guy is going to be here next week, and if I don't buck up, I'm not going to be playing. So I think you're starting to see us kick into some sort of a rhythm now that we're used to seeing. Maybe not the Dundalk of old, maybe this is a new Dundalk that we're now going to see.
Yeah, maybe we'll see a bit of structure on the field now over the next couple of weeks with Vinny going in there and putting his own stamp on things. But still a lot going on behind the scenes there, isn't there? And even, I know you mentioned there was no kind of major sagas this week in the news for once, but there's still a couple of whispers about Patrick Hoobin's future, about Patrick McElhenney, You'd wonder where that leaves players like Michael Duffy as well, and all these overseas players that came in. They're only on short-term deals, so are they just going to be here for this season and gone the next? There's still a lot to unfold this year, you feel, off the pitch at Dundalk.
Yeah, and I think, Kieran, that's the biggest question mark over Dundalk Football Club at the moment. It's from the top down, I suppose you can ask questions. How long is Peak Six willing to still invest in Dundalk Football Club? What is their long-term strategy? What's Vinny's long-term strategy? We don't know how long how long of a contract he was given. Therefore, that trickles down to, you look at players' contracts. We've only got Andy Boyle on a long-term contract, Val and young Ryan O'Kane. Three players signed up for next year. So when you ask a question like, you know, there's a lot of question marks over a lot of the players you just mentioned. I think there's a lot of question marks over a lot of players in Oriel Park here. And because, we've only just got the managerial thing sorted. Now we need to say, well, what is Peak Six long-term commitment? Can we give Vinny a long-term commitment? That'll give him a chance to give players a long-term commitment. And then we'll see what sort of a team we can put together in Oriel Park looking forward onto next year then too.
And of course, Europe's just around the corner as well. And we said it on last week's show that any other year, the draw Dundalk have got, the fact they're seeded for the first couple of rounds in this new competition, which, let's be honest, it's a weaker competition than the Europa League. And given the success Dundalk had in the Europa League, you'd like to think they can carry that experience into this weaker competition and get through at least a couple of rounds and maybe into the playoff rounds where they could eventually meet one of the bigger fishes of European football. But just with the uncertainty on and off the pitch, you wouldn't be, you know, throwing your house on this one against the Welsh side, would you?
No. And I think, you know, that's the thing. Any other year we would have said, yeah, you know, we're looking like a much stronger team than this. We've only seen some sort of consistency from Dundalk kind of in the past 3 weeks or the past three results, should I say, probably 11 days. So it's hard to say, yeah, this is a banker by any means, Kieran. But the other real shame in this one is, you know, I don't know how many times I said, I'd love to draw someone from Scotland. I'd love to draw someone from Wales, because imagine the boat over. It'd be so much fun. And we still can't. It's so close. And yet we still can't do it. It's heartbreak from the fans as well as the players to have that there, you know. But like you say, with the draw as well, Kieran, you know, we're seeded for the three rounds of the qualifiers. The only one we'll be unseeded for is the playoff. So like, that's a hell of an opportunity. I still think you're talking about $250,000 per round. So like, it's small money in compared to Champions League money and potentially what Shamrock Rovers are going to get. But for ourselves and when you think about commitment for Peak Six, could this pave over one or two cracks to bridge a gap to maybe next year, or potentially looking at a sale of the club and say, well, look what you can make from this club. So there's plenty on offer from the playing and I think the commercial side of Dundalk for that.
Yeah, and look, you make a good point. It's a real shame the way it's panned out, drawing a team so close to Ireland and not being able to attend it. But you've been involved in the last couple of weeks in bringing games to people that can't make it to Oriel. Obviously, there's a huge number of season tickets at the club, so they go into a random ballot every week. There's a lot of people that are left disappointed. So luckily, there is a stream in place. How have you found it so far?
Yeah, good. So we wanted to get the crew I have in at the moment. They're all the professional TV crew. So a lot of us would have worked on horse racing previous, which is kind of where I freelance in sometimes too. So I managed to get a lot of the guys from that, professional OB. So it's nice to be finally able to get in and show what we could do for it. I think, you know, looking at yourselves, Longford there, even last year, you know, this potential has been there within the clubs for a long time. I know, you know, Gavin loves creating content for us before and during halftime. You know, we even showed it back at the Bows friendly, one during the first COVID break and at the start of this year, what we can do. So realistically, Kieran, I think the streaming potential is going to be even bigger for next year. Because will we still be back at full capacity? Who knows? Big question I've always had for the League of Ireland is, how do we tap into an overseas market? Because there's never seemed to be any leverage in the FAI or RT to bring it to that market. Like, we used to see geo lock for the RT player. And I'm like going, this is your chance to showcase on the RT player for, you know, our league. So here's a chance actually for us to do that. And I think that's what the club should be looking at. You know, I know there's London Lilywhites, there's, you know, there's a French-based fan club, There is one in Australia, obviously Dean in Chicago, over in the US. So there's loads of these overseas markets. And I know, you know, Bray have one with the guys from Sweden and stuff like that. So I think this is where we could be possibly looking at potential revenue streams for overseas fans. And that's, you know, thinking outside the box for another revenue stream for the clubs going forward. I think there's something there for them.
Look, finally, you mentioned Shamrock Rovers a couple of minutes ago, playing them on Friday. Always a tasty fixture, no matter where the two teams are in the table. And Dundalk got a surprise win earlier on in the campaign when nobody gave them a prayer. So how do you see this one playing out? And of course, we've got the fact that Richie Towell, he's eligible to play. Don't know he will be up to match speed or not.
I knew you were going to mention he should never be named. I think that just throws an extra little bit of spice in that one, Kieran. It's... you know, when you look at it, though, if you were to look at a form team table, even, should I say, over the past five games, you know, you've probably got Sligo, Bowes, Dundalk in your top three down there, you know. So there's plenty, you know, previous form in the last five games for Shamrock Rovers isn't great. Does that mean anything when these two clash? Not always, you know, and we're talking of, you know, last weekend, seeing the end of Chris Shields, and, you know, I heard plenty of it mentioned, the 7-0 mauling that we took there. I was at the game, and, you know, I remember those games well as sneaking 1-0 wins and stuff like that. Look, there's spice all over the pitch. You've got the Sean Hoare and Sean Gannon thing. You know, now you've got the Richie Towell bit as well. You've got, you know, the Dundalk fans love to have a go with their 18 season win. You know, it's theirs to do it over a full season. And look, wouldn't it be funny, you know, if this was called an 18 game season now, how different would this table look? You know, so it's funny when we look at it over a full season, it could be a completely different output. But yeah, there's spice in this fixture for the weekend, definitely, and one we're all looking forward to watching.
Yeah, and look, it's great. It's great to see as well that there'll be a small contingent of away supporters allowed to the game as well, because I think that always adds to it. But Chris, really enjoyed chatting with you today. Before I let you go, just let everyone know how they can find the Town End podcast.
Yeah. So look, we're on all major podcast outlets, and we're across platform, multi platforms as well. So we stream on Facebook, Twitter, and on YouTube as well. So all of them, if you just search for the Town End podcast, I'm sure you'll find us there.
Brilliant stuff. Chris, great speaking with you today, and best of luck for the rest of the season.
Perfect. Same to you, Kieran. Thank you so much.
For our latest podcasts, video content, and exclusive columns from Stephen Henderson, Connor Hoey, and James Rogers, visit betweenthestripes.net.
Look, let's move on into our first division, Gaz, and we'll start with Cove 3, Wexford 2.
Yeah, some results. Well, probably not, you know, the most exciting results for Cove, but they needed it. The way that not that they're not having the best season, our Cove, really, you know, and while Wexford have been rejuvenated under Ian Ryan and getting better results and just not getting pasted every time they look out the door, Cove would have seen that as a potential banana skin. It would have been a dangerous game to be playing at home. Wexford coming across the road, just a dangerous old game there, and they did well. Cove just, to get the 3 points.
It keeps them in the mix with the playoffs, doesn't it? They're only 4 points outside of it. I know they probably won't make it, but you know, you want to just try and keep that alive as long as you can, because when they're able to reopen the gates to a small amount of spectators now, you want them to actually have something to come out and aim for, don't you?
You do, of course, but like, I'm not sure if Cove are going to be able to put enough solid regular performances in to be able to really put pressure on, let's say, probably fourth or fifth.
Their goal difference is woeful. It's minus 10. They've shipped 2 goals here against a Wexford team that's only scored less than a handful all season. So despite the win, it doesn't really bode well for them, does it?
No, it doesn't. And like I said, that'll still be a concern for them. Like, it's not saying that it's not good enough, but it's just really a very good reflection on the season that they're having. Not consistent. Now, I know they've won 3 in their last 5, but it's kind of, you know, you never know what you're going to get with them. They got a good result here, but they still conceded 2. I know one was, I think, Wexford was in the last minute or towards the last minute, end of the game anyway. But you know, that even shows that they're not even closing it out properly either. Do you know what I mean? It's just a very, very ropey season for Coast so far. It doesn't seem to be changing very quickly. And look, as time goes on, you know, I just don't see them. Like, they're playing Bray next. Oh, that's a huge game for both Bray and Cove. Like, if Cove get in this, right, okay, you could argue that they're pushing on and getting a bit closer, but I don't think they'll be able to pick up enough points across the season.
Fair enough. Let's move on. 3-0, Galway won. A goal from Cunningham. Good header from him.
And, was a good header, yeah. He got his nut on it and kind of looped over the keeper, which is a bit of a pain for a keeper, you know. Probably in the right enough position, it just looped over him and went in. So, surprising one for me.
Are we starting to see Galway just slowly turning a corner?
Nah. I think so much of their stuff has just been so last minute, so everything's out of jail. It's possible, but they're for the team that they have, the resources that they have, the full time football, you know, stuff like this shouldn't even be a question.
3 wins on the spin.
Yeah, still don't see it. I need to hear more. Sorry, Galway fans, it's not for me yet. It was a good result here away at the Treaty. You know, Treaty are still going well, and continuing to push. Like, there's 3 teams on there now, all on 22 points in the playoffs. There, to be honest with you, I can't believe looking at it now that Dublin or that UCD are on the same points as Treaty and Galway. How was that even a thing? You know, we're nearly at the halfway point of the season now, 13 games gone, and UCD, Treaty and Galway on the same points. Mental.
Yeah, unfortunately it looks over as a contest already in the league, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
For the title, it's done and dusted.
Yeah, John Breyer's having a great time loving life at the minute. England getting through and Shells, you know, banging in goals and doing a job on Cork as well. It doesn't look to be any contest at all. So I think it's going to be the four teams in the playoffs juggling around the place to see who gets home advantage or whatever way that shakes out at the end of the season.
Yeah, what we'll do actually, Gary, we'll move on and talk about Shells themselves. They had a 2-1 win against Cork City, but Cork really shot themselves in the foot in this game, didn't they? They got themselves back level, but then I'm not sure who it was, but one of the Cork players makes an awful back pass straight to Michael O'Connor. Yeah. He lays it off to Ryan Brennan, and Brennan tucks it away nicely. But that's been the story of Cork season. Just when they look like they're turning the corner, getting a bit of momentum, they shoot themselves in the foot.
Yeah, not only shoot themselves in the foot here, and they just blow it completely off their leg because, you know, they got themselves back into the game, playing in Talca, but got back to 1-1, and then hand a huge opportunity for O'Connor to slot it into Brennan, who, you know, finishes handily enough. Good performance. Well, probably not the best performance, really, actually, for Shells, but they get it over the line, and, you know, that's what they've been doing all season. But, like, looking at that game, you know, before the game, would you have really given Cork a chance to come out with even a draw from that game?
No,
not a hope.
No.
So to even, while they did shoot themselves in the foot, that the fact that they weren't, you know, pumped completely, what was a good result for them. But yeah, look, on the night, you're looking at that poor back pass that just undid all their work. And that's the story of Cork season, as you said.
Can Shells go unbeaten in the first division this year?
Don't see why not. Who's gonna put a stop to them?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, maybe UCD. You know, if they kind of gather up a bit of
too leaky at the back for me.
That's what I was gonna say. Yeah, if they gather themselves up a bit at the back, maybe they could put a stop to them. And but beating Shells, it's gonna be a tough ask.
Yeah, maybe someone like a Bray, they're you know, keep it solid and they might nick it out 1-0 one night, but it's very hard to see at the moment. I'm usually very cynical of claims like that anytime, even in the Premier League when you hear, oh, can City go unbeaten? I'm always like, no. Any league, really, you always expect someone, but there just looks to be such a huge gulf between Shells and the rest in this division that I actually think it's very possible they could go unbeaten.
Yeah, no, it truly is. It'll be some achievement for them after the disappointment of last year to go straight back up, unbeaten. You have to hand it to Ian Morris for turning that ship around because it was in a bad place.
I suppose it's that bit easier when you have that few pounds to spend, though.
That's true.
Next season will be the big test for Morris when he does get them back promoted. There'll be big pressure on him there. And after what happened the last time they were in the Premier, I think if there's any type of stuttering there at all, he could be in trouble. But look, that's a long way away. Yeah, you'd like to see him obviously turn the corner and get Shells up there and get them really back firing and prominent in the Premier Division. But we'll move on. Cabo 1, UCD 2, and it's that brilliant double act on the score sheet again for the students. Whelan and Kerrigan, two wonderful players.
Yeah, I'm blue in the face talking about Kerrigan. Great player, great goal as well.
Whelan double digits now this season.
Yeah, and he's having a huge season again. Really doing a job for UCD and Andy Myler there. But they just keep motoring on, but it's kind of disappointing from their perspective because they win that game out in Stradbroke, only down the road for UCD, but still a pain of a place to go. And they get a good result and then look up at the table and they're 11 points behind Shells. It's tough, but all they can do is keep motoring as best they can, keep getting on the score sheet and doing their best to keep in touch. But I think second for them is going to be the best they can do this season, and that'll be a good achievement for them and back into the playoffs. Great goal at the end for Cabo. Great finish. Can't remember who scored, but fair play to him. He banged it in, but only a consolation in the end for Cabo.
Athlone 0, Bray 0. We're probably not overly surprised with this result, are we? The way both teams have just, Athlone have lost form recently, and Bray, this is the kind of results they've been picking up all season.
Yeah, real. We talked before about Gary Cronin being under pressure. He got a good result there against UCD there, last time out before the Athlone game. Like 3-4-0, I think it was. So that was a great result, and probably really goes to show UCD being ropey at the back. But I wasn't expecting 4-0 from Bray. I didn't expect him to score 4 goals in 4 games, never mind 4-1. But then again, back down to earth, away to Athlone, who have been going poorly and couldn't get it over the line. So really mix and gather them from Bray, which is what we've seen so far from them this season.
Yeah, Ryan Graydon sent off in this one for Bray, and Athlone out of the playoffs now. They're down to 7th, but they're only a point behind Bray, so it's still all to play for. But
definitely,
as we said, Athlone have just lost that little bit of momentum, and Bray, their disappointing season continues. Right, Gary, let's move on and talk about this weekend's fixtures in the First Division. More interviews still to come tonight, but me and you are a bit like the rest of the teams in the First Division. We're letting John Breyer way out in front, so we need to put in a good performance this week with the predictions. And of course, John will send them in to us on WhatsApp, so he'll still get a chance to extend his lead. But let's start with Bray against Cove. I'll go to you first.
Yeah, interesting one here. I think this has to be an opportunity. Gary Cronin has to target this game as 3 points is the only thing that's acceptable here, isn't it? Cove, we've said it numerous times, they've been up and down, in and out, over and back, ropey at the back. But are Bray going to really come out and put them down? I don't see it, but I still think they'll win, and it'll be a 1-0 scrappy game. 1-0.
Yeah, follow you all the way on that one. So we'll move on to Cork against Treaty.
Yeah, it wasn't probably the poorest of results for Treaty. I know they lost, but Galway, you don't know what you're going to get with them. But they have to look at Cork, going down to Turner's Cross here for the first time. Surely have to get 3 points against Cork. Cork are doing so poorly. I don't see them being able to put up much of a fight here for Treaty. I'm going to go 2-0 Treaty.
2-0 Treaty. I'm going to go for a scoreless draw. I know we mentioned Cork shooting themselves in the foot time after time, but their goal difference is only -1. So they haven't, been absolutely tonked left, right and centre in games. And we've seen it, as I said, they've shown signs that times this season of turning a corner and a little bit of momentum, and then they'll go and shoot themselves in the foot. But Treaty aren't exactly free-flowing goal scorers themselves. So I think this could be kind of a game. Both teams will eye up. Cork are at home. Treaty are in good form. They've done okay on the road as well this year. But I think two teams that might just cancel each other out slightly. So I think a 0-0 draw there. We'll move on to a Dublin derby. Shells against Cabo. On paper, you'd imagine this should be straightforward for Shells.
Yeah, it has to be. Can't see anything else. Probably Brendan to get on the score sheet again. I'd say 2 or 3 nil Shells. I'll say 2-0 Shells. I'll be kind to Cabo.
Well, that's all right, because I went 3, so you might as well go 2. See if you can land that bonus point. But we'll move on. UCD against Galway. This should be a cracker.
This should be a cracker.
Well, actually, the way Galway are playing this year, not sure. Might be a cracker either.
Well, look, you know, they're digging out goals, you know, from any type of angle. It doesn't seem to be much thought put to it. UCD, as we've mentioned, poor at the back, but banging in goals. It's a real... anything could happen in this game. It could be easily be 4-4 as well as 0-0. Like, you really don't know what you're going to get from either of these teams. But I think UCD will get on the score sheet. They will concede. So I'm going to go for a mad game in 3-2 to UCD.
Love it. Getting very difficult to call this one. UCD, they've picked up 9 points from their 6 home games. Galway's away form isn't bad, actually. Only Shells and UCD have done better. They've picked up 10 points on the road from 6 games. You're definitely right. I think UCD will probably concede at some stage. Are they going to go and blow Galway out of the water? I think Galway look a little bit more solid the last few weeks, so I think it might be a draw, and I'm going to follow you with the high scoring thinking here. I'll go 2-2.
Yeah, I can see it just as easily. I just think I don't think I'll be convinced with Galway. Unless Galway win every single game that they play for the rest of the season and win the league, I might be convinced then, but just what's been going on so far this season is just not good enough for them. So I just can't rely on them for anything, really. I'll stick with me 3-2 UCD.
Now, this has been a basement battle in recent years. Wexford against Athlone, and Athlone want to start picking up a few results again, or it might soon be a basement battle. But if they can win this one, they'll throw themselves back into the playoff picture. But a trip down to Ferry-Carrig, as you mentioned, Ian Ryan, has them rejuvenated a little bit, although the table doesn't show that, but performances have been on the up. Not an easy game for Athlone, is it?
No, it's really not. Like this is a huge, huge game for Athlone. I think, as you said there, this is a crossroads in where...
Athlone, it really is. Yeah, it really, really is.
Yeah, so I want to say Wexford 1-0 here.
That's what I said. That's what I have on my notepad right here.
Yeah, like we could both be wrong, but like Athlone need to look at this game as something like a cup final here, because they can either look back up the table or be down mixing it with Cove and Cork and Wexford down the second half of the table, which is where no one wants to be. But if they don't watch themselves, that's where they're going. Obviously not something you want at all. So unfortunately, though, I think Wexford, they'll be eyeing this one just the same. You know, 3 points after 13 games doesn't really say much for them, and they'll be eyeing this one themselves. So I think Ian Ryan will do a job on them in Ferry-Carrig and come out with a 1-0 win.
Lovely. Yeah, I follow you on that one. Now, I'd like to say Jordan O'Reilly from the One Up Top Bows podcast joins us. And Jordan, I have to say, my favourite thing about your podcast is the intro. I'm singing it all the time, even though I'm not a Bows fan.
Yeah, we got a good friend of ours, Warren Dunne. He'd done up a jingle. I gave him a text saying he's our Aldi version of Paul Weller in Bows. So he was strumming away. He said, do us a song. It's called One Up Top. And he came back with that within about 30 seconds. So we're happy enough with that, I have to say, when it came in.
It seems to be going really well, the podcast, for you. The numbers and everything seem fantastic. A lot of interaction on social media. How have you found it overall?
Yeah, it was really good. We weren't sure how it was going to go at the start. Obviously, Bows hadn't got a podcast at that stage. we'd strap one up and deal it together and see how it turned out. But yeah, there seems to be a big reaction around, not just within Bowls, but like there's a lot of fans around the league listening to a lot of Waterford fans, Derry fans that are listening, because you know it's probably a little less serious than like a lot of other podcasts. And I think a lot of people have lapped up to, you know, they can go on to Between the Stripes if they want to hear all the in-depth analysis and they want to hear what's happening around the league, and then they can pop over to us if they want to hear all the crap talk in the pub that stories down the past, you know.
Any negative experiences so far?
I think the only negative experience we got so far was maybe a bit of fruity language that we've used, but look, that's part of the experience that sort of adds to it, if that makes sense.
And I can imagine there must have been plenty of fruity experience after the weekend result. Quite a hammering off Sligo.
Yeah, we couldn't get recorded this week, but probably for the best and fairness, because you know, similar to yourself, you sort of know players and you know management and staff, and you don't want to seem like you're coming across and lashing players over and you're lashing the management, and then you have to go face them on the Friday when you're at the game and you saw how your hell's going. But we like yourself, we do all want to see the podcast, and you have to be honest about how you feel about the game. But yeah, not ideal, the game on Saturday, Sligo seem to have a number at the moment for whatever reason, same as John Kenny, he seems to have a week in Sligo team, part us off the pitch, I think. I know it wasn't a 4-0, could have been a 4-0, but you know, still not good enough.
And such a dramatic swing, because form had been really good up until then. So just the way the league is this year, isn't it? I suppose a lot of teams are struggling for consistency. We've got a 3-way tie at the top of the leaderboard. Dundalk now are catching up on the likes of Bowes. Drogheda are still in the mix as well. So there's still a lot of football to be played.
Yeah, we've got we're halfway through the season now, so another 18 games to go. I think in terms of the top three, it looked like they were getting away at one stage and they've been plucked back into, which is probably good for the neutrals and probably for the rest of the league really as well. I still can't see Dundalk keeping a challenge, but it will go pear shape. McInerney's talking about leaving, Pat Hogan's just talking to him leaving, so I think that's inevitable. I can't see Jordan holding the pace. I'd like to think that we might bring in a couple of signings and we can catch up on the teams above us. Whether we do that and whether the players are going to fit in right and they're going to settle in on time, I think that's our biggest problem.
And then Europe coming up as well, how do you feel ahead of that? Because what we've been discussing on this week's show in regard to Bowes is it's probably the back four where you've really let yourselves down this year, giving away a lot of cheap goals that we wouldn't have associated with Bowes in recent years, and that's why maybe you're just off the pace of the league leader. So if you give away them goals in Europe, you'll be in trouble. But if Bowes can sort themselves out, we've seen what they did last year in Europe. They were very unlucky to go out. So if they can just tighten things up at the back, they'll have a chance.
Yeah, I think the football we play suits us to the ground for Europe, particularly since, funny enough, I think our worst performances have probably come against Longford in terms of our football. But like those games against Drogheda and Dock, they weren't freak results. You know, they were hammerings, and it was because of the football we were playing throughout the game. So I think we're probably suited to Europe. As I said, the man of the mystery of Bastian Heary, whether he comes in and he's the one to come in that, you know, Linfield fans talk about, he was the one that got them over the line in Europe in all the games. So I think we're well suited to go into Europe. Starnan, we've done a bit of research on them. They were second bottom of the league a couple of weeks, so they've picked up a couple of wins and they got knocked out a couple of weekends. So look, you have to try to stay optimistic. I know they're ahead of us in seeding and whatnot, but we really do fancy balls to go through around in Europe.
And it looks like Bowes will have their first taste of the Aviva as well. I'm not sure if you'll get a ticket personally, but you must be excited to see Bowes finally getting a chance to play at the National Stadium.
Yeah, well, that's it. I think we've been waiting for a cup final the last few years. You know, heartbreak after heartbreak after heartbreak. And it's finally come. Sadly, it's not the circumstances we would have liked. You know, there will be probably 6,000 to 8,000 Bowes fans, probably a lot of League of Ireland people, a lot of football fans in general, I think, will jump in a chance to get a ticket. I think anyone within the realms of Daily Mount will get one easy enough capacity. Obviously, once it's over 6,000, I think we'll be fine to everyone to get one. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to the day out in the Aviva, lording up in Bowes Bridge for the day.
Look, it's great to see that your podcast doing so well. Tell our listeners where they can find out more.
Yeah, you can find out more on Spotify. That's where we're sort of mainly based. For some reason or another, Apple Podcasts won't have a bear of us. So you get it on that, or Audio Bill mainly, another Google podcast. You catch us on Twitter, One Up Top Podcast, and One Up Top Pod on Instagram. So, you know, it's a bit of a different podcast. As you know yourself, you've listened in. It's people telling stories of past that you wouldn't hear. Very sort of humorous and not too serious.
Actually, before I let you go, I have to ask you about Georgie Kelly, because he's a man that's been debated a lot on this show. I know you've talked about him a lot on your show. Great form in recent weeks. I think he's the top goal scorer now in the league as well. So has he proven his doubters wrong, or has he still got a bit to go?
I think he still has a bit to do. My co-host has literally been throwing this in my face the last couple of weeks because he backed him to the hilt from the get-go. But, you know, he's 11 goals in the league. He got 7 in 2 games. And he's yet to score away from home in open play. He got 1 goal away, and that was a penalty against Dundalk. I think he is improving, and I'm not going to write him off, but I still believe that even if he is the answer, I think we still need to bring in someone. There's no one else in the bench up front. We can talk about Georgie Kelly. If Georgie Kelly gets injured, Bowes are goosed.
Yeah, look, I certainly agree with that. Jordan, great speaking with you. Great to see the pod fly in, and look, we'll catch up again soon.
Yeah, Kieran, cheers. Thanks for having me. Best of luck.
Keep up to date with the latest League of Ireland news and updates by following us on social media. Search for Between the Stripes on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram.
Right, let's move on to the Premier Division, and what a game to start with. Dublin Derby, Bowes against Pats. Bowes, I'd love to put a dent in those Pats title ambitions, wouldn't they? We've seen late drama in this game earlier in the season as well. Is this one going to be equally dramatic, or will it be straightforward for Bowes or Pats, or what's your thoughts?
Probably one of the hardest games we're going to pick this weekend, isn't it? Pats, they're going quite well. Questionable at the back. I'm not convinced with Paddy Barrett at all. And then by the same token, I'm not convinced by players that you might have expected to be doing a lot better than they are in Cornwall, and particularly Feely. So really, really tough one to hang my hat on. So I'll sit in the fence and go 1-1 here. But it really could be anything. I really don't have much of a clue on this one. I'm sure people will say I don't have a clue at all. But for sure, on this one, I'll hold my hands up. I agree with you all, if that's what you think. 1-1 for me, but geez, could be anything here.
Yeah, it's a disaster not having John this week, because if he was talking now, I'd have an extra few minutes to think about my prediction here. But I'm like you, it's very hard to know what way to go on this, isn't it? Bowes, surely their confidence has taken a bit of a battering off that result in Sligo. I mean, they really were pummeled. Pats, that result down in Waterford, do you read too much into it? They did have a red card in it. Would they have gone on to win easily otherwise? It's hard to know, isn't it? We've seen it a lot with Pats this season in games against, like, remember that one before the break against Dundalk where they'd all the ball and they lost that night.
Nothing with it. Yeah.
And there's been other games this time. But then since they came back from the break, they've been excellent. They put Harps to the sword recently. You just don't know what Pat team is going to turn up, I suppose. Heading over to Daly Mount, a couple of fans in there. Do you know what? I think I'm going to follow you. I think this will be a draw. I'm going to go 1-1.
Yeah, safe as bet, I think, at the minute.
Derry Waterford?
Well, there's one result I want to happen. You know, Derry played all right at the weekend against Dundalk. You know, they weren't blown apart. They're more competitive in games. They seem to have turned a lot of a corner here, and you know, we've said it countless times, they need to do a lot of work in the window. Whereas Waterford, they're a completely different side than what they would have met in the first goal. You know, the Bertram has come in, really changed how they're playing, the mentality. There seemed to be just more of a team, an actual team, because there were just a bunch of lads before. So I think Derry are going to shade this one. Long old trip for Waterford. I think they'll... I just think Derry are going to come out 2-1.
Yeah, no, I'm going for a Derry win as well, a narrow one. I'm going 1-0. Look, I mean, it's a difficult trip, isn't it, for Waterford up to Derry, even just factor that into the equation.
It's difficult, though, isn't it? Because, you know, you're even small... Maybe not, it's not that small at all. The Derry pitch as well, it's an Astro pitch as well. You know, we had a look at it early on the season, weren't overly impressed with it. Yeah, it's kind of hard to know what way that's going to go, but no, I'll stick with me 2-1.
Yeah. Look, I don't think there's much analysis to be done on this game. It's a difficult away day for Waterford, especially when you're down the bottom.
Yeah.
Even though they've got that bit of confidence behind them, but I think they might be set to lose a couple of their lone players now as well. So might take them a game or two just to find their feet again. And they've been really, really solid under Bertram. But if players are getting chopped and changed there, that might just affect their momentum a little bit. The same can be said for Derry. They'll be without Patching. Will we see that new signing come into the starting 11 or will he need match fitness? I don't know. There's a lot of variables here, but the one constant thing is that Derry is a hard place to go. So I'll give them the win on the home advantage here. I'll go 1-0. Drogheda against Harps. These have been tight meetings earlier on the season. Is this going to be another tight one?
Yeah, I think so. I think you saw there, you know, and we saw firsthand that Harps probably more of a reflection of where they should be in the table now. I think they're in eighth position, just above Waterford, and probably, you know, realistically where they should be. But they're still in a very, very hard team to play against. You know, Ollie has them going well enough, but still they couldn't, you know, they did create a few chances, but just weren't clinical enough against Longford. So I think Drogheda will capitalise on that and come out. I think they'll nick it 1-0.
Yeah, I think if any team wins it, it'll be Drogheda at home, especially with Lyons playing the way he is.
And Dundalk as a whole, though, you know yourself, we've said it before, we're not giving them enough credit. Great season, really great performance. Yeah, Drogheda. Great performances, doing a huge, huge work there.
Especially I mentioned it earlier in the show, but the character they've shown to bounce back from that hammering against Bowes, that says a lot about the dressing room and really the spirit does. That's built up there. The professionalism of players like Deegan that have come in and Dave Massey. But I'm going to, as I said, they've been tight meetings earlier on in the year. I was at one of them earlier in the season ahead in the game park, and it was an exciting game that day as well. I think it ended 1-1. If memory serves me correctly, and I think the same thing might happen on Friday. But if any team wins it for me, it'd be Drogheda. So I wouldn't say you're far off the mark with your 1-0 prediction. Mm. Now, what a game this should prove to be. Vinnie Perth back in the helm at Dundalk. He's got them, you know, he's getting the results. Maybe the performance is not exactly where he'd like them just yet, but they go up to Shamrock Rovers. Rovers stuttering a little bit. Dundalk would absolutely love to pick up 3 points. Will they be able to do it?
This game is in Tala.
It is.
All right, Thompson.
Small number of Dundalk fans allowed to travel as well, which is good to see. Good to see away fans starting to slowly filter their way back into League of Ireland stadiums.
Yeah, no, that is good.
Whether LMFM will be allowed in is a different story.
That's the next question, of course. but look, we'll park that one for a while. On the game itself, I think Dundalk, I don't think they're consistent enough. I don't think they're clinical enough. I don't think they're defensively sound enough.
I tweeted the other night, how on earth are Dundalk 3 points off fourth? And a Dundalk fan, I think it was Kyle that got back on to me, said, no reason at all, we can't finish in Europe. And I replied, there's plenty of reasons why you can't finish in Europe.
How long do you have?
Yeah, so look, it's a fascinating game. They beat Shamrock Rovers earlier on the season when nobody gave them a prayer. So the form goes out the window a little bit with these games. It's almost like a derby. There really is that hatred there between the two sets of supporters, certainly. And there's a bit of needle between some of the players and even off the field as well. We've kind of touched on a few issues there. So it's a big game. Are Rovers going to be able to deal with the pressure here?
I think they have to. I don't think there's a choice here for Rovers to not be able to deal with this pressure and come out with 3 points. I'm expecting them to win. I think it'll probably be a real letdown of a game as a spectator, which is unfortunate. But
I think it might be a real battle, this one.
Yeah, but without any quality.
Which is strange given the quality of player on both sides, particularly football Rovers have played over the last year or so. But I think this is going to come down to who wants it more on the night.
Yeah, to a certain extent. But I just think, you know, they're probably going to cancel a lot of each other out. But I just think, you know, on an individual level, I just think Rovers have better players. And the way that they've been going this season, you know, they're still joint top, but I think still think they have more in the tank that they can give. So I'm going to say 1-0 Rovers and probably a poor game.
Richie Towell's eligible for this one, but I wonder if he's up to speed just yet. I think there was a couple of behind closed doors friendlies arranged, but
yeah, there was, but like, sure, he's probably training with Rovers at the past. He's training there a while. He didn't come in there on Monday, like, so.
No. Match fitness is a different thing to fitness, isn't it?
I'll tell you, imagine him now coming on 80th minute, 30-yard screamer. Oh.
Straight over to the away end.
Straight over to the away end. Well,
with Sean Gannon.
Oh, yeah. Then over to Vinny. Well, lad, how are you getting on?
Look, you still haven't given me your prediction.
1-0 Rovers.
1-0 Rovers. Okay. Do you know what? I followed you quite a bit tonight, and I'm going to follow you there. I think a scrappy game lying in store there, but I think Rovers, they really need to win this, don't they? So. I think they'll be understanding of that going out on the pitch. And I think Dundalk, we've said it a lot, haven't we? There's always the chance this Dundalk team give you something. Abebe's looked a little bit more solid in recent weeks, but you're just always in the back of your mind, is he going to drop one? One of the centre-halves going to do something stupid? Is somebody going to get sent off? Is Holborn going to miss a penalty? There's a weakness about this Dundalk side that was never there before.
No, and just when you mentioned Abebe with a howler, he made an unbelievable save against Aaron Dobbs there a couple of weeks ago in Oriel. So I wasn't expecting it. Really disappointed, obviously, from our view. But I think the Dundalk will give you stuff a bit more than Rovers, and I think Rovers have the personnel to take care of it.
And finally, we'll round off with the N4 Derby. That's Longford Town against Sligo Rovers. First of all, am I allowed to have Joey and Doe on co-coms with me on Saturday?
No way.
Ah. Come on. Welcome to heaven. Welcome to heaven.
You give that a go, and we'll see how you get on then. We'll see if I get you back next time out.
Hopefully from a Sligo point of view, it'll be a hellish experience for them on Saturday. But the way they're playing at the moment, it looks like it could be Longford that are in for the difficult night at the office.
Yeah. I'd never been to the showgrounds when Longford played them earlier on this season. Figueroa opened the score in there. Poor from the keeper. Should have done better with it, but you know, Gibson had a good game in that one as well.
Yeah.
And
they'd come on, didn't they? Because we weren't impressed with them when they beat Longford 1-0. They won the game that night through a set piece, which is the story of Longford's season. We didn't have a show last week, but the game against Dundalk, Chris Shields scores from a set piece. The game against Waterford on the Monday, Waterford win the game through a set piece. The other night in Harps, the penalty that Harps were awarded came through bad defending off a set piece. If Longford do not stop the complete capitulation every time a ball goes in from a set piece, they are going to be relegated. There is no question about that.
Yeah, I really don't know. I'm blue in the face saying it.
We're saying this since last year, Gary. In the first division, they couldn't defend set pieces.
Since God was a gossin, we're saying this. I really don't know what is going on. Like, I have all the faith in Dara and John. I don't know what's going on.
Is it a lack of leadership on the pitch? Because you look at that one against Waterford. It's probably the most disastrous one there's been
horrific.
Horrific defending. I mean, the ball just comes straight across. There's a couple of players that just stop dead and let their players run off them. There's no kind of, you know, Lee Stacey, he had an off night that night, I think, against Waterford. He's probably disappointed with the first goal, but since then he's bounced back brilliantly with the performance in Harps the other night. But again, he wasn't overly vocal, was he? It's come right across the box. Could he do something to influence it a bit more? I don't know. I'm just throwing out kind of question marks here. Like, we just look really soft every time a ball goes into the box. Is there not somebody there to grab it by the scruff of the neck? Even I think I said it to you after that game against Waterford. I remember when Stephen Rice was in the Longford team. He would go over to a player and roar in their face if they were not exactly where they were supposed to be before the set piece came in. And even if Longford got away with it and headed it clear, if he seen somebody that was out of position and Longford had got off the hook, he let them know about it. I don't see that in this team. They get off the hook three or four times in a game. there's no talk and there's no communication, and then they're punished and everyone's heads just drop and there's nobody giving anyone a good old berating. For me, there's a lack of leadership there at times. That probably comes back to the lack of experience in the team at this level.
Yeah, you raise a lot of points there, actually, Kieran. I'm not sure if I'd agree with leadership. I think just taking command of a situation...
Is that not leadership in itself?
It is and it isn't. Leadership is across the whole entire team in all situations is different than someone dealing or taking ownership of a particular defensive position that players need to take.
There's the question in itself. Is anyone taking leadership from the set piece situations? I would have to say no.
No, of course not. No. I don't think there is anyone taking a proper leadership of it, because like we're looking at games that Longford Town have been in and then throw something or all of it away because of craziness in a set piece. I really don't understand it.
Like it's not a healthy way to live. Every time we give away a free kick, a corner, or even a throw in, I'm thinking we're going to concede here.
Oh, no, it's not healthy. No. It doesn't do me any good at all. It actually does damage every time I'm looking at it, and unfortunately I'm looking at it a lot. It's really hard to know, because I don't think that there hasn't been that many times this season I've looked at, Jesus, what's that fella doing? Why didn't he do this or that or the other? It seems to be there's always an extra man there, or someone runs into someone else and he falls down and, you know, something happens. But that doesn't happen with everyone. It needs to be rectified now. Like even you think back to 2016, we had a big centre back, Yann Mvita, came from France. Don't know where he is now. But like there was times in games when we were going down that season that it was just Yann had nobody. He was marking nobody. He was just free to run around and try and head the ball out. That's crazy. But it worked a lot of the time, because he was massive. Should we get some lad that's...
Well, we're not lacking height. Aaron O'Driscoll, big lad. Mick McDonald, big lad. Joe Manley, big fella. I don't think height is an issue here.
No, but I mean, the idea was with Yann was wherever you are on the pitch, you're not marking anybody, you don't have to worry about anybody, you just go and get the ball.
Yeah, well, that's zonal marking, isn't it? And I know our good friend Fitzy has suggested this. He says, we are absolutely crap man-to-man. Why don't we just go zonal and attack the ball? Maybe he's got a point, but then I said we're not lacking in height, but in some games, I mean, against Dundalk, Jesus, the height in their team, Harps, the height in their team, we are, out-heightened, if that's a word, in some games, so... Is it a mix and match, maybe what you're suggesting, say to the likes of Mick McDonald, Aaron O'Driscoll, the better players in the air, right, you're not picking up anyone, you're just going straight after that ball. Is that something we could do? That's maybe a good point.
It sounds crazy, but like something has to change.
Yeah,
because they're
sleepwalking into relegation the way they're defending set pieces at the moment.
Absolutely. And even on a small point, you know, we talked about the ball retention from throw-ins from a Longford Town perspective is woeful. Yeah. Absolutely woeful.
Trying to put a hole in the man's chest.
Yeah, absolutely. True him. Yeah. Like, I don't understand it. Like, we talk about Waterford, and I know we're waxing on about Longford, but look, that's who we are. If you look at that Waterford game back, Paddy Kirk can throw it in. But there were lads standing beyond the distance he can throw it. Mm. And the way Paddy Kirk throws it, it's kind of arrowed in. So someone has to be available to knock it on. Because what are you going to do? You'll have a hole in your chest, as you said, if you try and chest something down from Paddy Kirk. Because that's the way he throws it long. So I don't understand what we... I know something has to change. But it doesn't seem to have been given the required attention, because we have other deficiencies in the team. But look, you're going to have that with a team that's battling relegation. There's going to be problems all over the place. Like going forward is an issue for Longford Town, of course. I think it was probably the lowest shots in the league. But look, I think for Longford, they just need to keep plugging away.
Stay in the mix.
Stay in the mix and don't get cut adrift. That's the key at the minute. And, you know, we looked at that game. If Longford managed to hold on, you know, that would have been even 2 points into the lead that Waterford currently have over Longford at the moment. that would have been huge. But Longford aren't winning games, and we're not able to close out games, as we saw countless times this season, conceding late. But look, it's tough
going.
Give
us a prediction here.
1-1.
Fair play to you, Mr. Optimistic, because I'm very much Mr. Pessimistic. I'm going 3-0 Sligo.
Yeah, I think
they were so good. They were so good against Bowes. I mean, they are really coming down the road here on fire.
Yeah, they are. They've really turned it on compared to the first time when we seen them beat Longford at home early on this season. They were.
Yeah, they progressed so much. They were on the ball. They were really good defensively against us in that opening game. Really well organized. We created very, very little in the game, and they took their chance through a set piece. So they deserved a win on the basis of how strong they were defensively. But in the second game, obviously they're at home, so you're expecting them to be that little bit more. But Figueroa, Gibson, lovely little bit of flair about them. Was Bulger suspended for that game in Sligo? Maybe he played. I can't remember, but
Buckley, or was it? There was something with Buckley or Bulger.
But they're coming down the road here with what you think will be a full contingent of players. I think they'll just be a very hard force to stop.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I just think Longford have had some positive results. You know, you look at that game in Oriel Park. That was a really good performance by Longford Town. They could have won it. Probably should have won it.
Sligo are a more well-rounded side than Dundalk, though.
Yeah, but everybody's a more rounded side than Longford Town at the minute. Do you know what I mean? I appreciate what you're saying. Dundalk aren't the same team, or they're not close to Shamrock or to Sligo Rovers at all. But that's still a positive performance for Longford Town. They went up the Harps, got a good result, saved. I know in both cases, Lee dug us out with a penalty save.
Yeah, that's the thing though, isn't it? Everything is just such a scrap. It's a war every week for Longford, whereas Sligo, we've seen them, they could click their fingers against Bowes and stick four in the net. Now, it's not as easy as that, but when you have players of that quality, it is just that little bit easier, isn't it? Whereas Longford, they have to literally die on the pitch every week to get a point.
Yeah, and but that's what happens when you're in a relegation fight. You have to die for everything. You know, go back
and
to that video.
And to fairness, they are dying every week on the pitch.
Exactly. About that, you know that video of Neil Warnock, he's in the dressing room, he's like, you have to die to get 3 points. Well, Longford Town have to die to get a point at the minute.
Yeah.
And that's what they're doing. I think while Sligo Rovers are, particularly in this time of the league, this is an unbelievable test for Longford Town, and it'll be a proper test to see, well, can Longford Town turn this around? If they get blown apart as you think they will, it could be curtains. But if they get, you know, 1-0 loss, 1-1 draw, nil all draw, very positive for Longford Town.
Look, Gary, I've enjoyed that tonight, I have to say. Thanks very much for stepping in on short notice. A lot going on here behind the scenes this week at BTS HQ, so we had to get the show done quickly without our good friend John, but he'll be back next week, and hopefully by then England will be out with the Euros. Who do you fancy to win it now? I know me and you are both Germany backers, but fell asunder today.
Oh, Jesus, it did, and it could have fell asunder earlier on. My God, they were hopeless. Really hard to know now.
Just the all joking aside, England have a great chance, haven't they?
They really have a great chance. I think Italy, you know,
weren't great against Austria, were they? And I know they were good in the groups, but did they really play anyone of note?
Probably not noteworthy enough to go for them to go on. But look, I had Germany down, and they went nowhere. Big fan of Immobile. Go with Italy.
Fair. Yeah, the outfield actually texted me today to put a tenner on Italy for him, so there you go. But he knows nothing about football, so that's not overly encouraging. So Spain, wouldn't be convinced by Spain either, even with the win against Croatia. You're probably just hoping that someone like Belgium can get to the final and just have that bit too much for England. But I'm getting worried now. I'm really getting worried. And John will enjoy me and you, you know, squirming in our seats here.
Yeah, I don't think I'm worried. I don't want to have to hear it, you know.
Yeah, I have enough going on. I can't be listening to that for the next 3 months solid, 3 years solid.
Exactly, you know, and like you won't even be able to watch a Premier League game, even, you know, 2023 without it being
Yeah, they'll be stopping the game every few minutes for like a World or a Euro 2020 flashback or something.
Some crap, yeah. You know,
this VAR check is brought to you by the heroes of Euro 2020. Yeah. The day football came home.
Yeah. No, I don't have to handle it, but look, that's football. You're gonna always have crap like that, and hopefully just what we as you said, we don't have to go through a pandemic and then have this to deal with. You know, we're on the looking at the end of it now, we don't have to deal with this another pandemic of crap that we'd have to listen to. But for the help of God, someone will do a job for us, and I know we're all let down by Germany today. Hopefully no one else will do the same.
Yeah, if Joey and Doe was here now, I think he'd say, welcome to hell if England win Euro 2020.
He would indeed. I don't think he'd be thinking like that. I think he is such a low draw for the game. Yeah, it's so refreshing and so nice to hear. No matter who's playing or who's doing, he just wants to see beautiful football. Yeah. Sligo Rovers, man, he was even cheering Paddy Kirk on, and I think he did a job on Walter Figueroa. I know was on social media.
Yeah, he nutmegged him and then played a lovely diag ball. And
he was loving it. And that was just beautiful to hear someone loving the game as much as probably me and you do, or more to even a greater extent. But it's always nice to hear someone like that on the telly or on a stream or something like that.
Yeah, look, hopefully we'll get him on at some stage. But for this week, that's where we're going to leave it. From myself, Kieran Burke, and from Gary Riley, thanks a million for listening, and we'll chat to you again next week.
Thanks for listening. Check out BetweenTheStripes.net for all your favourite BTS content in one place. See you all next week.